So we're going to dance here? Is that what's going on?
This episode of Men of the Cave is brought to you by...
David Bowie, Let's Dance. David Duchovny. I like that song. That's a good little...
Yeah, David Bowie's the shit.
That's a good song.
So is David Duchovny.
All the Davids?
Totally different David. Ooh, speaking of David, it ties in perfectly.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Doesn't it?
It does. So, and welcome to episode 30. Finally.
We're...
And we've done 30 of these.
30? 30?
Dirty 30?
Dirty 30.
Not going to be that dirty, though.
Just a little bit.
So as you can tell, I have in the cave myself. I got Gil.
Mr. Gilly Fish up in the house.
Gilliam's here. Hot Sauce is here.
With his mouth gaping open.
Yes. I'm swallowing the microphone right now.
Yes. You have to do better than that. I mean, registered like this much on it.
How about no?
Oh yeah, see that's the way you got to do it.
Yes.
Just pretend you're Trump the whole time.
I'm licking it like an ice cream cone right now.
So we're Stephenless and we're Johnless.
Well, we have somebody in the chair next to me though, which is good.
I feel the force.
We have Mark Hamill again. Anytime Hot Sauce comes, got to bring that damn picture.
Yeah. It's become his kind of his thing. Yeah. What's up, Mark? How you doing, Mark?
Okay, so it's just three of us.
Woohoo!
And we're going to start off by saying that the topics this week are very lean.
Very lean.
There's not much this week.
Nah. I mean, some big movies have come out recently, but no big news.
I mean, we can't talk Wonder Woman yet because only Gilbert's seen it.
Mm-hmm. It was a good movie, guys.
So we'll talk about that next week. Yeah.
It's good.
It's getting some good reviews.
DC actually put out a good movie for once.
That's what we're hearing. So instead, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Hot Sauce's adventures at Alamo Con.
Yes.
Which was like a Comic-Con in San Antonio.
Hence the Alamo.
Hence the Alamo.
And look on the Instagram as well, because I'm going to post some photos pretty soon, actually. Maybe tonight.
Awesome.
Maybe tomorrow.
We got some Star Wars news.
Just a wee bit.
We're just going to talk a little bit about it because we don't want to give it away. But... there's some interesting things going on. Two of us have seen Aliens Covenant, so we're going to go ahead and review that. A little bit more alien news.
Hence the David.
We're going to talk about a potential X-23 movie. We're going to talk about some Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Not good news, though. And
when it finally comes out, it'll be awesome.
We'll talk some DC news, but not necessarily the Wonder Woman movie. So let's go ahead and kick off with, since Hot Sauce is here, and we'll go ahead and start with him and his adventures in Alamo Con. So tell us who you saw,
take it away,
how it was. Yeah, tell us all that good stuff.
I only got, actually, not only, the big photos with Karen Gillan. Who plays Nebula.
She's hot.
And was for a while on Doctor Who as Amy Pond, one of the mainstays on there for a while. One of the Doctor's companions, you can say. Mm-hmm. Quite a cutie. She was Irish.
Yes.
I don't know if that's a good accent.
So is
Did she have an accent?
Oh, yeah. It was great.
So is she a natural red? I have to know.
It seems like it. Let's see, who else? Carl Urban, Bones.
Did you meet him?
Yes. Picture, which I'll post on there.
Did you talk to him?
Yes.
What did he say?
I told him as far as the panels go, I was able to talk to him for a little while because of the panels. You know, you wait your turn and you get to ask him a question. And I basically told him because he's going to be in Thor Ragnarok. As kind of like a side, not a main character.
Mm-hmm.
But I told him, was like, hey, if Marvel calls you today, like, are you ready to get another role? Because it wouldn't be the first time people have switched, you know, from so-and-so character to another character. And he said, yeah, whatever they're willing to throw his way, he's pretty much down. And one of his first lines in the Star Trek, which is a different subject, is... I may throw up on you to Kirk once he meets him in the shuttle. So that's what I said to initially, and it got a good reaction from the crowd, and everybody started laughing. So I was happy about that.
Nice.
I was trying to get him to, so he got him to smile and laugh just a little bit, because he kind of comes off as a serious guy. Doesn't really like laugh out loud type serious guy, but he's, you know, just a cool laid back guy, I guess.
So for people that don't know who Carl Urban is, he was Judge Dredd.
Yes.
He was he wasn't Théoden. He was Éomer in Lord of the Rings.
Right.
And
he did a good job, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And who else? What else has he come out? He's coming out in a lot of things.
Let's Google it.
He had a movie where he starred. He was the main star, and he was like a Viking that was raised by Indians.
Oh yes.
Outcast, yes. No, something like that.
I keep thinking Outsiders. I was like,
no, I saw the movie. It was okay. Pathfinder.
Pathfinder, yes.
Yeah, Pathfinder.
Yeah.
So this is Carl Urban. Yeah. So he does, and he, of course, he plays Dr. McCoy on Star Trek.
That's
so
the most famous.
He does come off as a very serious individual.
Really? Because he's always like, he always plays in the Star Trek. He plays like the funny guy.
So we couldn't get him into the cave shout out.
Man. Not really. Maybe because of usually JDF Jason David Frank would go to the Alamo City, but I guess for whatever reason he went to another one,
the
and
Phoenix,
that happened to be the one.
Yeah. Oh, at the one we talked about last week, yeah, at the Phoenix, where the guy wanted to like kill people and
right.
stuff like that.
I know I could have got one from him for sure, but security was, I guess, ramped up a bit. So, like the lines, they didn't allow people to talk a lot to if you went to their tables and, you know, just got an autograph or a selfie, whatever. Which is good. I mean, I think there should be, because anybody can walk in with a concealed handgun. You know, and they wouldn't know the difference. The only thing they check really is their bags, if you have like a backpack or something.
You don't go through a metal detector or anything?
No, not at all. Jason David Frank did post one of the cons that did have somebody, there was a metal detector there, so that's good. Maybe there's their slow progress into, unfortunately, something really bad has to happen, I think, for it to be an actual mainstay as far as security goes, but hopefully that'll change pretty soon.
Yeah, hopefully that's what we're. So, who else did you meet? Carl Urban.
Oh yes, good question. Because Eugene from The Walking Dead.
Nice.
Michael Cudlitz Abraham.
Yep.
Another nice guy.
Mother Dick.
Yes, exactly. Who's Deanna? Another famous one, a line of his. I didn't have him say anything like that, but I took a. He was cool because we took like a few photos. I went to his line where you could get autographs and stuff and just chose to do the photos. So he took my phone and took like 3 or 4 different ones. And same thing with the guy that Josh McDermott, who plays Eugene, did the same thing.
So which one's the funnier one in real life?
Oh, man. Probably Michael Cudlitz, I think. In my opinion, maybe. But they're both equally like.
Is that the Abraham guy?
Abraham, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like him in. He played Bull in Band of Brothers.
Band of Brothers, yeah. That's one of the things I told him. I was like, man, what a great job you did at Band of Brothers. He's like, oh, thank you. Because not a lot of people reference like all the way back, you know, way back when. They just really know him for Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And
if I ever met him, that's probably what I would want to talk to him more, is just his experience being, you know, me being a history major in college and a history buff, you know, I those are the kind of people that I like to meet, you know, talk up veterans, but to meet someone who met some of those veterans
right,
that they portrayed in.
Because he
the
definitely
actual,
did.
Yeah.
And he said that's the role like he's most proud of course, you know, to do, try to do it justice for everybody that took part in the war. It was awesome because I got to also ask him about if Marvel, like the MCU or DC, whatever, since there's so many new shows coming out, would you like to be part of that universe? And he said as long as it's serious, like not a like a comical Batman Robin type, you know, role, he'd be down. Because I said there's some, he didn't know about it, but there's some new shows like Inhumans or what's it called? The Gifted?
The Gifted, yeah.
Yeah, that one's coming out.
That is a good question to ask though, Hot Sauce, because it makes you wonder what their mindset is as actors in the industry. Like, is that a job that they want? Like, are they thinking like, man, I wish Marvel would call me, you know, MC. I wish Disney would call me to to be in a Marvel movie, or I wish Disney would call me to be in a Star Wars movie. Like, are those roles that they covet, or are those roles that people just don't really care to do because it's going to make them busy beyond busy?
I think they would be pretty excited. I mean, probably on the inside, but, you know, just be on the outside. Well, what, if it happens, it happens. But
gotta play it off cool.
Right, exactly. Which is funny because that was the question I asked him on, at the panel. And then he kind of almost stood up and he, who is that? He's like, hey, are you offering me a job? And everybody kind of laughed. And I was like, yeah, we'll talk later after the show. He was like, oh, okay.
That's pretty interesting. I wish we could find a way to get a camera, you know, to follow you around with the microphone to do. I mean, we're not there yet. It'd be nice to be there. I mean, I'm sure with the way security is going to be ramped up now, you know what? Considering what happened in the Phoenix Comic Con, I don't know how much harder it's going to be. I guess one of the good draws of, I mean, one of the main draws of Comic Cons are those things that people seem to like was how easily accessible you were to the stars that you're meeting. And it seems now because this idiot who decided to attempt to do whatever he was going to do, he kind of messed it up for everybody, because now they've kind of cracked down on, I'm pretty sure they're going to start cracking down on prop replica guns, weapons, stuff like that, because they've seen him as a threat.
Yeah, there's always the weapons check, because even if anything resembles a weapon, they have to take it in. Otherwise, you'll be escorted out. And they put a little tag on it. So that's the main thing. But they really should pat people down or go through a metal detector in case they're concealing anything, actual weapons, which that guy was.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
I would think at least for the big Comic Cons that they're going to have heightened security and have those kind of metal detectors and all that stuff.
Yeah, because I would feel safer if they did that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, those bigger ones can afford to have those kind of things, while the small, like, little ones that, like, the local towns and stuff will probably be just the same.
Right. So at least a pat down, something.
Yeah, some kind of thing.
Anything.
Even a stare down.
Who else did you meet, Hot Sauce?
Let's see. Carl Urban, Walking Dead. Let's see. Oh, Susie. My girl Susie. Almost forgot about her. She plays, I think her name is Pam, in Jessica Jones.
Oh, okay.
Who's the main assistant the attorney?
The blonde?
Trinity. the actress that plays Trinity.
Oh, that's
The Matrix.
That's her face. That's,
You can do it, Gil. You can do it.
But keep talking.
I just want to look at Gil just to see him pondering in the cloud above his head. Anyway, her and the guy that played the NYPD officer.
Carrie Ann Moss, goddammit.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Oh, the Simpson guy. The Simpson guy.
Yeah. Him who Kilgrave, you know, told to jump off the roof and ended up, Jessica Jones ended up saving him. Took one with him and Susie. They're both, like, so nice, too, because there wasn't a lot of people ever in their lines. So they really took the time to talk to you. I think he said he's from New Zealand or Australia, the guy that plays the NYPD officer, which I was like, man, you do a good accent.
That's pretty damn convincing, yeah.
You play a great good guy / bad guy, which not a lot of people can do, in my opinion. He's like, oh, thanks, mate. Well, he didn't say mate, but it's in his accent. I just want to say mate every time I
talk. That's the one who played Kilgrave?
No, he's that's David Tennant, which would be awesome because there'd be a billion people in that guy's line because he's also a Doctor Who.
Oh yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah, damn.
but yeah, he played the officer, NYPD officer, which helps him out track Kilgrave down, and he ended up killing a detective. Anyway, Susie, I got to meet her. Awesome, so nice, and. Day two, I went to go see her again, and one of her, everybody has like you can say maybe a handler that takes the money, because of course the stars don't take the actual, you know, the celebrities don't take your money and, you know, put it in their pocket. It's somebody working for the con that does that.
That would be a little awkward to see.
Right. Give me your money. Let's see. Oh, the second day. And so... I said, oh, yeah, I did a picture yesterday. Said, oh, yeah, I remember, yeah, blah, blah, blah. what's going on today? It's like, oh yeah, he did it. And the person taking the pictures goes, hey, do y'all want another photo? You know, just do another one or whatever. You know, maybe get a kiss. And I was sure, like, once I looked at the girl, Susie, like, she was like, ah, no, like, would play it off or say no. She was like, oh, yeah. Like, she was like, oh, yeah, really into it. I was like, oh, yeah. Then, yeah, so I like one of those, please. And which was awesome because we did it once. She kind of had her hat or one of her eyes, like, halfway open. So, oh, I didn't get it. Let's do it again. I was like, yeah, we're going to have to do multiple retakes. Sorry. So let's go ahead and do this. Start doing this over and over again. So she kind of laughed, and then we got the photo. And I'll post that one for sure because I'm quite proud of that one.
And, it would be.
Yeah, because I've been seeing everybody else's post from, you know, like with the hashtag 2017 Alamo City Comic Con. I'm pretty sure I'm the only one that got a kiss from all the celebrities. So.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So.
A little extra special there.
So maybe we'll make it a, you know, our kind of our thing where, you know, we'll go to Comic Con, do the kiss. Maybe I'll give her a kiss. Maybe we'll fall in love. I don't know. Pretty much.
That would be interesting if you could get that to happen, like, consistently, maybe.
Mm-hmm. We hit it off, you never know, you know.
And did anything, so you said that was day two. What about, so what happened in day two? Anything else happened in day two?
Day two, that was the day of, those were the main photos, I think, that we took. Because the following, I think it was, I don't know, Saturday or Sunday, we met Gary Fisher, you know, Gary Fisher's dog that she took with her everywhere. Because within the last year, basically she was alive. Almost every single interview she did, mm-hmm. he was there, her dog, with his tongue hanging out the side of his mouth.
Aww.
And the lady behind us was dressed up as Princess Leia when she's in Cloud City with the red and kind of the white, exactly like her. And I heard kind of a sobbing behind me, and her eyes were like completely watery. And the girl that helped taking the photo was like, no, this is a happy time, you know, just keep smiling, remember, you know, be happy for Gary. A lady fell down that was taking the picture in front of us, because you had to basically kneel down to take the photo with him, because he's just sitting on a little chair.
Oh, okay.
And every picture he takes, they're like, come on, Gary, look at the camera. And he's just like either sniffing the person next to him or kind of jumps off the chair. So it was a pretty fun experience. Oh, and then later we got that was Saturday, and Sunday he had his own booth just like everybody else. And he did a paw prints instead of a potograph, I'm sorry, where I guess they dipped his hand in a little ink or whatever, and he put his paw print on one of the photos, or you could either get a photo already taken of him or the ones you took with him. Huh. No, it was already a photo he had taken of him, but that was pretty hilarious. And of course, you get to pet him or whatever.
I can't believe they have the dog at a Comic-Con.
That is...
who was the handler for the dog? That.
That's exactly what he, I guess, Carrie Fisher's assistant, you can say.
It was a guy, right?
Yeah, one of the guys, I guess so.
I mean, that would have been
I think crazy. It was a lady.
Okay.
Sure it was a lady, yeah. Yeah, it was a lady. Who was Carrie Fisher's assistant. They were going to give the dog to her daughter, of course. But the assistant was the one that was actually always with them.
The one that actually took care of the dog.
Yeah. And the one he knows the best, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you said it's fine just to give it.
It's only right, yeah.
Yeah, there'll probably be sad memories too if he if he stuck around with the dog. I don't know. Anyway.
Is that pretty much everyone you saw? What about the Emperor? The Emperor was there.
Yes. It was $100 for basically everything. Val Kilmer was there. Just looked like...
He ballooned up, hasn't he?
No, actually, it was reversed. Yeah.
What?
But he still looks all sickly, and, you know, keeps on claiming there's nothing really going on.
Huh. But he got really fat. I didn't know he lost the weight again.
Yeah, because he's having, I mean, all these, I guess, operations, but he kind of denies everything. No, no, everything's fine, but he looks like super, like, crazy old.
There's definitely, like, something going on.
Yeah, okay. Something's going on for sure. And this is, I don't know, it just seemed depressing, so I didn't get a photo with him.
Damn.
Which I thought, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think he was scheduled to be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, one day I wanted to be Maverick from Top Gun. The next day, Doc Holliday, and maybe the third day, Batman. But I decided not to because, you know, he doesn't seem too lively. In all his photos, he was kind of sitting down, too. So,
damn.
It was fine. Huh. But all in all, it was a great time, just like always. The thing I love about the Henry B. Gonzalez Center is they keep it nice and cold. So if you do happen to be wearing a hot costume, which most are, and outside is like 100 degrees.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's pretty nice inside there because the one at Dallas was hot. Like, I was just wearing a regular outfit, not a hardcore costume, and I was sweating. And I was like, man, I wouldn't really want to wear a costume in here because I'd be dying, pass out or something.
You lose like 10 pounds of water weight.
Exactly.
But so, yeah, it would be awesome if we can go to these Comic-Cons. It'd be even better if we could all go together, but unfortunately, since we all work in the same place... trying to get all three of us off at the same time would be very, very difficult. And then even John, too, that's four people.
Really, just need two, because you can even YouTube Alamo City Comic Con 2017, and people make compilation videos of the people they meet. They'll dress up and take pictures with, you know, or kind of do like a little dance number. And like, actually, the editing and production quality is pretty good. And they'll even suggest software you can download to make it easy to edit your videos that you do take over there. But, of course, you want at least a decent camera. Because audio is not too important unless you're going to actually interview people.
Yeah.
But those videos, and they get a lot of likes, too. So it's pretty awesome. You should definitely check that out. And there's going to be one here in November, Wizard World Austin, which I plan to go to. As long as I can get the time off, of course.
That may be something I might be able to pull.
November.
Although with having a new baby coming, I don't know if I'll be able to pull that off. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Right.
So sounds like Hot Sauce had a good time. Maybe we'll go next time. So let's get into like the topics of the actual movies and stuff. Hot Sauce's adventures are over for now.
He got a kiss though.
He did get a kiss.
Yeah.
So Aliens Covenant came out about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, something like that.
I haven't made it to go see it. I was initially really excited to go see it, but then I heard some bad things about it and some not so great things, and I decided that do I really want to spend the money to go watch that movie if it is what people are saying about it. So Gil saw it, Hot Sauce saw it. People have told me everything about it, so it's not like it would be a shock to me. So we're going to go ahead and talk about it. So, all right, Gil, tell us about Aliens Covenant. Tell us what you liked about it and what you didn't like about it.
Aliens Covenant. Where do we start on this one? Because, well, overall, like, it was an okay movie. It didn't go where I really wanted it to go, especially, like, following Prometheus. Like, I'll say flat out, I like Prometheus much more than I did Aliens Covenant. Definitely how in the trailer, the original trailers, I made it play out. It was going to be like more like a horror kind of movie. It was nothing like that. They had a couple like jump scare moments, but that's about it. The movie definitely tried to focus more on story elements, trying to go into how the xenomorph, that we all know, how it really truly came to be. Which was, of course, done by David. David is the one who... Which I hate the fact they did that. Instead of the xenomorphs being like their own actual alien race, David's the one who created all of them. David's the one who killed the engineers. In the prologues, if you guys have seen it already or not, it shows David like bombing the entire city in the engineers' planet, and they go further into that and explain it more, like the after effects. So they get to that planet, and they see that the whole planet's, like, destroyed, or there's nothing left of the planet.
That's living. I mean, there's still trees and everything, but nothing's alive.
There's no animal life, nothing else. It's just vegetation, I guess, or whatever. At one point, they get to that city where David had bombed them, and they end up meeting David there for the first time. Doesn't show any bodies or anything like that, really. Well, I take the fact that they show some skeletons at one point.
Yeah, the kind of like the ashes, almost like a nuclear bomb went off.
Basically.
Of people.
It shows that abandoned city.
But he bombs it with actual bombs or with...
No, it's a bioweapon.
Those bioweapons.
So the bioweapon, so they just died or they didn't get infected? Or
like, they kind of just like withered
disintegrated.
Away.
You know, like in the original like Prometheus when he drank that stuff and kind of like withered that way?
Yeah.
Same thing. It shows like before that you see the actual the xenomorph that we know. It shows like those hybrids earlier into the in the movie. Those alien human kind of hybrids. It stands up more upright. It doesn't really have a mouth that you can see, which is kind of cool and kind of interesting. It even showed that one point where instead of being a chest burster, it was coming out the back burster. Mm-hmm. There was nothing different about it, just other than coming from the back.
Yeah.
Just going over key points like they showed in the trailer to make it look how it was when it really wasn't. Let's see. Oh, we learn about Shaw. What happened to her? Basically, David uses her as an incubator. When he in the prologues also, it showed that she was going to sleep. He used her as a incubator for those alien hybrids that he wanted.
So did he kill her? Or?
She basically dies when after, and it shows her body there after the fact. Like all opened up and showed from the I guess one of the. Those aliens that came out of her, or whatever that was, she was incubating. So yeah, they show her carcass there, like all preserved, because he was still in love with her, but he wanted her to have the babies. I guess that's fucked up. We have two Davids in this movie, though. We have the David that was with Shaw, the older version of the software, I guess, where he was more, crazy, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then we had the newer David, which got a little more programmed and more. Or reprogrammed, it was more less human-like, so less had less emotions.
Walter.
Yeah. But we used him as David. But they call him Walter in the movie.
So does he fight David? Do we have a Walter David fight?
We do have a Walter David fight. And
how did I know that was going to happen?
Because it was predictable.
It was
that
very
whole thing
predictable.
Was so predictable. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. It gets to the point where, and other movies have done this before. They fight and they cut away and they don't show who kills who.
Right.
And then we find out at the very end that David survived, but he was posing as Walter.
And so right stupid. Before she put like one of the, her to sleep or whatever for the cryo sleep. And he's like, you're David.
It's David. Oh.
And then
and then he hits the button and she goes to sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Shh.
So yeah, when they think they're all safe, then it's with Walter because the xenomorph ends up. They leave the planet, and Walter or David is on the ship with them, and the xenomorph manages to jump on the ship, and they go into space, and they're trying to escape. And David or Walter at the time they think managed to go in on its own, but Walter was helping him, trying to like corral it basically to shoot out into space. So they were like. Closing down like different doors and stuff and helping him out. And they manage to kill the xenomorph. It does it. They end up, letting it go off into space and
just
die.
Just like in the first Alien.
Yeah. and then after that, it shows David. Was it before or after? I forget. They show David or Walter, putting the people to sleep. They're still going off, I think, to that another planet they were originally meant to go to. And then it shows him afterwards, like coughing some stuff up, and it basically was a little xenomorph, like his perfect version of the xenomorph embryos, and he's basically harvesting them and putting them in a little like cryogenic little drawer, I guess, or something like that. So letting you know that he's gonna take them to this new planet, and he's gonna use those people as incubators.
Right.
So basically, that's more or less the story.
I read online that they were going to. That supposedly the planet that David goes to, where all the engineers are, isn't really their planet. Mm-hmm. That the story is that it's like a waypoint or an outpost, and the real planet hasn't been reached yet. If they're gonna keep making them,
that'd be a cut to cop out if they do that.
All I gotta say is I understand really it's his creation, but he's messing it up.
Just like George Lucas was messing up Star
exactly.
Wars. He has his hand in every little tiny thing, and he wants to control everything.
That would make, a little bit of sense, because I was like, well, I guess there's no security. Any ship can just fly in and bomb your city.
Yeah.
I guess he could deserve to be destroyed.
Well, it shows, I mean, they were in an engineer ship, so they thought they were safe.
Did they all came out to, like, greet it or something?
Yeah, well, they were all, like, wondering, what the hell's going on? Like, the ship was just coming out of nowhere, and they're all, like, in droves looking up at the ship. Like, they didn't look like they were greeting it, per se. They were just kind of like, what the hell's going on kind of thing, and then bombs them all.
I don't like it. I mean, I think it's stupid.
The way Prometheus left off, it made you excited. Like, okay, we're going to the planet. She's going to go
kick some
ass.
Yeah, we're
going to
get some answers. And instead, he's like...
And they just go off on a completely different tangent.
They're just like, no, you know, now he's... And then it kind of, like, takes away the fact that that there's, like, no queen alien.
Exactly.
And somebody had told me that or I read it.
Well, I bet you, honestly, because it shows him incubating at the end, he has those little embryos. My guess, they're going to say one of those is a queen. I bet you.
That could. But, you know, somebody was telling me that the whole point, I think it was maybe my brother Michael, I'm not sure, that the whole point was to think of the alien species as a species.
Yeah. They weren't created. They were
not created, not a created weapon or, you know, not something like, because even when the Nostromo and the first aliens finds the derelict ship, there's all these eggs in it. Mm-hmm. And if he killed all the engineers on that planet, and that was their planet, supposedly, then why is there an engineer sitting in that derelict spaceship? You know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think he's ruining it. And I don't think it's done well at the box office.
No, and I think after the second week, they said they saw an 80% drop in sales.
It's because everybody went to go see it that was excited about it, and then
exactly
heard it sucked, and then everybody,
word of mouth is a killer really quick.
And what about you, Hot Sauce? You have the same kind of gripes about it, or is there anything that
that's what I was saying earlier, is that it was predictable.
Yeah.
It's just that what they thought, well, let's just make it like so-and-so movie, and that's pretty much what they did. They didn't do anything really, in my opinion, too creative or...
Mm-hmm. There was not a lot of... I mean, it was more story, the story wasn't that great. It was not a lot of action, not a lot of horror.
Right.
Not a lot so sci-fi-ish. It was just there.
They showed all the good parts during the previews.
Yeah, the trailer made it... The trailer was better than the movie.
Right.
They showed the part... They did have eggs. David was harvesting actual egg, the alien traditional eggs that we've seen where it has the facehuggers. And at one scene,
ridiculous.
There was a bunch
of
those eggs there, and then David's was walking with one of the guys from the Covenant ship.
Right.
And he walks in and says, "What's this?" I was like, "Oh, it's safe. It's safe."
And he's like, "Why don't you look in there?"
He was like, "Oh my God, really? Facehugger's about to come out."
And that's after he knows, pretty much he helped kill, because he had one as a pet, basically.
Mm-hmm.
A full grown one as a pet. And he finds out they're dead. And then he's like, "Why don't you look inside the egg?" He doesn't say that exactly, but
it's pretty much playing.
Yeah, he's
that.
Like, "Well, go ahead and look inside." And then, so boom, stupid. It jumps on his face. And I was like, "If I had that gun, I would have already shot him." And then, oh, look at all these eggs! I better destroy this because I want to make sure my group is safe.
But
maybe I'll just look inside, peek in my head this year. Yeah.
Did you see that? Did it have a lot of parallels to the first Alien?
See, facehugger, check. Killing a xenomorph in space, check.
One xenomorph.
One, exactly.
They had the two hybrids that were chasing them for a while.
Right.
Everybody in the crew getting infected. More of the Prometheus thing, check.
Their guns looked a lot like the guns that you see in movies now. Or the guns our military uses right now.
Yeah. They were more modern instead of futuristic. No flamethrower. That was kind of a lame thing. I was kind of looking forward to that. They would use a flamethrower on the eggs. That would have been cool. That would have been a throwback. What else? There's no really other big callbacks to the old. I mean, trying to make it like those little horror jump scares, but that when they were like so predictable and lame, it wasn't scary at all. Mm-hmm. One part. The xenomorph, when it was trying to attack one of the people, he was like locked up in a some crane thing. It had glass windows, but the xenomorph's inner mouth, whatever, shot out.
Uh-huh.
And was trying to break through the glass, and it did. There was another part where it was the sex scene of the movie, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
Where the inner mouth part, whatever, goes through the guy's head, if I'm not mistaken, right? and kills the guy, and then the xenomorph. They don't show him killing the girl, but the xenomorph does kill the girl too. I think with a tail. I don't know if they referenced that. Other than that,
so there's only one xenomorph, because it's saying here that there's two neomorphs.
Those are the hybrid ones, yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Those were the two hybrid ones that were chasing them out. They were chasing them to the city. And then the characters end up getting into the city with David. They feel like they're protected and safe there. While the neomorphs were on like the outside of that fortress, but they managed to eventually get into it. And
they're
try attacking
David's pets, basically.
Yeah, he, at one point David like gets face to face with one of them and tries to like,
not kiss it,
kind of, but like it shows like it doesn't have a face or anything. It looks like there's no mouth or anything. It's kind of trippy, actually, to be honest. But it stands up on its hind legs and looks at him like it's all calm, not ready to attack. Like he was trying to communicate with it. And then the other guy from the one of the other Covenant, I guess soldiers or whatever, on the back looks at it, freaks out, and shoots it. And then it goes, "No, what are you doing?" Like David's all freaking out. He was trying to communicate it with it. So you can tell, like, immediately what David was trying to do. Like, it was very predictable, everything, like, what they did with it, with his character in that movie.
Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, everybody gets infected, everybody dies. Xenomorph
comes ahead. Do you want to continue? Would you pay money to go see the next Alien that comes after this if it continues through this kind of storyline?
No, because it's lame. It's boring.
I would have to hear from somebody that says, no, you need to go see it.
If they made it more like the Prometheus one, then yes. Not like this one, though. Prometheus one was much better, which a lot of people, it was like either they hated it or loved Prometheus. I personally loved it. But if they made it more like that, then yes. This one was not.
So how many colonists are on the Covenant? Like thousands of them?
2,000, I believe. There was 2,000 all like non, like just regular people. And then a few like crew and yeah, workers and stuff.
It says like 2,000.
Which also is like
and 1,000 embryos.
Really dumb thing to where like nobody really knows how to be in charge. They're just like people like, well, I guess we'll go to the planet, even though we're supposed to go to the other planet.
Exactly.
And then, of course, Danny McBride, he's like, hey, we're going to go rescue him to save like three people. And I'm going to risk the entire colony of 2,000 whatever people just to save like three people. Like, how the hell does that make any sense?
How they do it is they get a transmission from Shaw while they're trying to travel to this other planet. And then the Danny McBride's character gets a transmission from Shaw, and they tried decrypting it, and they only hear a little bit of it, and it gets them curious enough to want to go to the engineer's planet where David was at. And that's how they end up veering off and then going.
But Shaw was already dead, right?
By the time they received the transmission, it was like an old transmission they received.
By the time the engineer spaceship reaches the engineer's planet, she's already dead.
Yeah. She was probably dead before even then.
So after she survived all that crap on Prometheus, she basically dies in her sleep because he experiments on her.
It was a horrible way to...
And she's the one who put him together.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And she was harvested twice, technically. Because, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's just fucked up. She went through so much and they just kill her off like that. Like that was just ridiculous. And what's even more messed up, in the beginning of the movie, the original captain was freaking supposed to be James Franco's character.
Right.
He was on their movie for like a little bit, and he dies in the freaking hibernation thing while like
they basically cut out his parts in the movie.
Yeah,
and they like, only showed him as a video recording.
Yeah, yeah. He was supposed to be. I guess I don't know. Like maybe that was originally intended to be like the whole time, right, or it was supposed to be more into the movie.
They just cut it out.
But yeah, his character like died right from the get go. Like. That's it. He was like our main captain. Oh my God, he's dead. Now what do we do now? Oh my God.
I saw people say that saw it, that they were disappointed. They said, this is what we get. We can't get a Neo Blomkamp Alien 5. Instead, we have this crap. Like, they were very upset about it. So I don't think, I don't.
After seeing this, they should have done
five. If this one ends up doing well enough at the movie theater for Fox to continue on, I think the next one's going to bomb.
Oh, even harder than this, yeah. They're probably going to be like a DC thing. They're probably going to be scrambling.
Well, one of the good things about... I don't think it's a good thing, but possibly a good thing is now that there's no Alien 5, there might be
See, why can't there
a District 9
2? Well, why can't there be an Alien 5, though?
Because Ridley Scott said no.
But after seeing this, he might change his fucking mind.
I doubt it.
He's going to have a fire in his ass, and freaking Sigourney Weaver's not getting any younger, and she wants to do the movie. I'm like, get, you know, just do it.
I mean, you said it yourself. He's a control freak.
It's freaking ridiculous. Well, if he's not going to make any money on this, he's stupid not to do five and just get it done with. And then he can go back and do those other shit.
Well, let's just go to District 9, too. Anyways, so are we...
Sign a petition.
Is District 9, too, something that...
That one should have been done a long time ago, too.
Way long time ago.
District 9 was a good movie.
It was a very good movie.
I like it.
I mean, he's gone off to do some really good stuff after that, but like he's wanted to do District 9, too, for a while. He just been busy. He was going to do District 9, too, a few years back, and then he got tied into the Halo movie for a while, I think?
Yeah, I think he was supposed to do a Halo movie that ended up not being done.
So, like, all these little other things that have been, like, kind of, like, sidetracking him and stuff has prevented him from doing District 9, too. But now he's got nothing stopping him.
I think he, like, kind of signs on to stuff just to, it's like, all right, it's a good idea because this is what the people want. Mm-hmm. And then he gets an attitude and is like, you know what? I'm Ridley Scott. I'll do whatever the F I want. That's just my opinion, though.
Like George Lucas.
Right, exactly.
Who liked District 9?
I did.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. And I was been in the years, so I was like, man, like, are they going to make a part two? Like,
I wonder how
to get closure to the story, like, of the guy just chilling there, you know, looking up into the sky.
Well, would you do a sequel or do we do a prequel?
I don't know.
District 9?
Yeah.
No, it has to be a sequel. We didn't know what the F happens to that guy. But is the alien coming back, you know, with his kid and to save him or turn him back, or are they going to have a revolution?
But I remember him talking about maybe wanting to do a prequel to that story a while back. Like, he had this, you know, it's been fumbling around, like, him wanting to do when he was thinking of doing two, that it might have been a prequel.
Hmm. But didn't they explain in the story that they just been chilling in that area?
They did do some explaining, yeah.
Like, there wasn't a war or anything.
No. They just kind of, like, they were there.
Yeah. So I don't think it'd be, like, a very action-packed prequel. I don't know.
So what happened? What is District 9? For people that have never seen it, what is District 9? What is the movie about? It's about some aliens that come to Earth.
Basically, yeah, some aliens that are, I guess, like refugees or from another planet, and they were just trying to find just a new home, and they end up going to Earth, and Earthlings that don't really like these guys, so they basically put them off into these refugee camps, and they end up making home, Earth their home, in these little refugee camps, and they're like segregated from the rest of society in these little slums. They're treated as second class like citizens.
Right, they land right over Africa, so I guess, I don't know if it's like...
It's Johannesburg, right?
Right around Johannesburg. I guess, and jurisdiction-wise, whatever, like, private military thing they have going on there, that kind of polices them, pretty much just keeps an eye on them and keeps them contained to that area, which is, like, yeah, the slums, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's not much they can do about it either, so... They're obsessed with cat food. I think I remember that.
Yeah, the cat food thing.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, these aliens aren't bad. They're actually, like, really nice people or beings. And just the way they're treated.
They've got some advanced stuff, right?
Right. They're the weapons that they use, but they can only be fired by them, like by the aliens.
Yeah,
so
like coded, especially coded to work on them.
So then there's a guy. A human guy, right?
Right.
And what is he doing? Do we remember?
He's kind of like not an ambassador, but he's in charge of relocating them. But he's like a really nice guy, like a family guy. It's like, hey, let's go ahead and let's kind of keep positive. You know, we just have to ask you to move, you know, to this area. And they're trying to communicate to the aliens that they got to move out of their place. And that's when he gets exposed to one of their maybe not a bioweapon, it might be considered a weapon, like one of the aliens was using to hopefully fuel or fix the ship they can so they can get out of there. Because once they land on the planet Earth, you know, they figure out, oh, shoot, it's run by all these humans, we need to leave. They can't leave because the ship basically broke down. And one of the main scientist guys is trying to fix it. And once they can find out his little stash of stuff, they don't know what it's weapons, the guy gets exposed, which ends up slowly genetically trying to alter his DNA to turn him basically one into full full-blown alien, which I don't know how that happened or why that happened, but it's just
and then they try to like experiment on him or like find out right what's going on and
right once his human friends get a hold of him because they really want to use their weapons, but
that Facebook half, peoples
he's basically half human half alien, but he can now fire their weapons, which is huge. And he of course the
which is what huge
it's huge
it's huge
huge
we're gonna get their weapons.
They're the best weapons.
And what else happens?
So he goes and he hides out in the slums.
Yeah, the guy that or the alien that has a little son alien ends up trying to help him, and because he knows he's a good person, he was actually trying to help him out by, you know, getting him to a safe spot. Helps him escape basically, and then that whole private military firm kind of like, hey, we're gonna take you dead or alive.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
And he jumps into basically one of their mechs or whatever you want to call it.
Some kind of like suit mech thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a robot exoskeleton.
Right, kinda. And he's like going to town and using all these crazy advanced weapons. That was like, of course, the best part. You know, I'm sure everybody would agree.
Absolutely.
And then after a while, he pretty much takes care of the main bad guy running the military outfit. And then what happens? The, his suit breaks down, of course, with all the damage it takes. And just when they're about to launch like a RPG at the ship, once the alien guy, dad or whatever, ends up figuring out what was wrong with the ship, he fixes, he knows he's going to go up to go fix it. There's a
because there's like a mothership above their camp, right?
Yeah, it's a huge colony, basically a spaceship. And he's going up there. He saves them at the last second. That way they don't blow up his ship on his way over there. And then he says, "Hey, I promise. Give me, you know, 5 years. I'll be back for you." And he's slowly turning full alien. And the end of the movie, he's looking up into the sky. He's just like, hey, I hope he comes back because he just left me here and I'm full-blown alien now. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, because by that point, he is a full alien, right?
Right, yeah. It's no human left in him as he's far as his outward appearance, yeah.
And he's kind of hiding. And the dude takes off with the big ship, right?
Right. So they're gone. Like, as far as he knows, like, the most of the aliens are gone now.
But there's still some left.
Yeah, there's still, yeah, there's still the people that didn't make it.
Yeah, that should be a pretty good movie, District 9 too. If that's what it would be called. But would you rather see a sequel or a prequel?
Sequel, of course.
Yeah,
because the prequel would be how they got there and what happened.
Right.
So what would you like to see in the sequel? Like, you would like to see the guy turn back into a human?
Or? Right, slowly being reversed into a human. And
that's probably course, the whole premise of the thing, him trying to go back to being human.
Right,
yeah. And then maybe...
And that whole military kind of evil outfit wants to experiment on him again. Yeah. But of course, they can't stop him because now he has access to all the badass weapons and is basically going to be Master Chief in one of those big Spartan outfits.
So maybe he'll realize he'll want to stay alien.
No, they look ugly. They got little tentacles.
But hey, maybe
face.
He will keep some of their DNA and still be able to fire their weapons. So.
I heard that, yeah.
That's my prediction on that.
I think it'd be a good movie. I mean, it's something that I'd want to see. District 9 was something that. Was a movie that kind of came out of nowhere. Nobody really expected anything of it.
Because it was different, which is great because they're not a whole...
It was very unique, yeah.
Yeah, there's not much unique ideas out there anymore.
Yeah, there. You really don't see a lot of good, unique things happening in the movies. And that's kind of why we have all of these...
Unique, like Chappie?
Chappie was good.
Something like out of, you know, nowhere. It's like really unique and awesome like that.
Chappie was a really good movie as well.
It was another South African movie too, actually.
Yeah, in South Africa. Was it a Neil Blomkamp movie too?
I don't know about that one, actually. Let's see.
Hugh Jackman was in it?
Yeah.
Was Hugh Jackman? Oh, yeah, he was in it. You're right.
He's huge.
So.
Yeah, it was. See, a little reoccurring theme going here. So maybe all his movies are going to be.
How do y'all feel about leaks? Like when there's a movie coming out, do you want to know? Do you not want to know? Are you going to click on it?
I don't ever click on it.
I don't want to know, but I'll end up looking at it anyways.
The reason I ask is because I think today or yesterday, somebody that worked for Lucasfilm that was a disgruntled employee, supposedly, released all the plot details for Episode 8, the last Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, on 4chan.
It's got to ruin it for everybody.
So, do you hate when that happens, or do you like to read it? Are you hoping to read everything you can on it, or are you?
And ultimately, it ruins it for people because you're going to find it out before actually watching the movie. I mean, you don't have to read it, but like it, a lot of people are going to freaking read it.
You're still going to go see. You'd still go see it regardless.
I still would,
because you don't know if it's true.
It's true. You don't know. You still have to go see. But even if it ends up being true, you know, still going to watch the movie.
I have no desire to read any of that or give any credit to a disgruntled employee. Because I know my best friend Mark Hamill wouldn't approve, so that's why I don't.
He would not.
He's not your best friend. Stop saying he is.
look at the picture.
But then again, his alter ego, I've seen lots of Joker, pictures like would that. Be like, what's the matter with you? Why don't you watch it? Why don't you read it?
I'll just get him and tell me personally. He'll whisper sweet nothings into my ear.
Don't worry, we're not going to say...
Yeah, we won't spoil
anything
here.
About. I read it, but
I read a little bit too.
I was just wondering your thoughts on it. I mean, look at Game of Thrones. Do you want to know what's going to happen?
But then again, on that one, I mean, when the books come out, you're going to read them.
Well, actually, they're so far away from the books, it ain't going to happen.
You don't think the final book will come out before the last season,
dude? The first Game of Thrones, the book, the Game of Thrones, the very first ones from A Song of Ice and Fire, was written like in 1993 or 1994.
It does take forever to write them. I'll give you that.
I mean, the last book that came out, the fifth book, between the fourth and the fifth book, he wrote the fourth one in 2005. And the fourth one, so the fifth one didn't come out till 2011.
But the one he's writing currently, that is the final book.
No, there's one more after that.
Oh, I thought this was the final one he's writing.
This is the sixth book.
Son of a bitch.
Where the books ended and where the show is, the show, when Jon Snow gets stabbed,
yeah, that's where the book.
That's
ends.
Where the book ends,
and then they can. But then he has like an outline of like what he wants to write.
He's already told them how it ends. He's told them how it ends. He's told them all the major plot details,
and they're going with that.
For the most part, I mean, there's a lot of things that are left out even of this.
They're probably doing like creative liberties kind of thing.
Correct. I mean, like for instance, look at Sansa's story arc, and how she gets married to Ramsay Bolton. That doesn't happen in the book. In the book, it's a girl that is a best friend of them in Winterfell. Her name's Jenny or something.
Jenny.
She whenever Arya goes missing, the Lannisters like kind of pose her off as Arya.
Ah, okay.
Because back then, nobody knows what you look like. It ain't like now. Like if you have, you know, somebody you can like look up. Yeah, look them up on Facebook, see what they look like. No, so back then, if they say this is Arya Stark, this is Arya Stark. And so they marry her off to, they marry that girl, Jean Poole is her name. They marry her off to Ramsay Bolton. And he beats her and rapes her and does all that mean stuff that he does to Sansa.
Evil son of a bitch.
And does things to her with his dogs. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
And I think he does it because he knows that she's not Arya Stark, which makes sense. And because why would you care if you're treating a girl that's nobody bad? He's a sadistic bastard anyways.
Very
literally
much so.
He's a bastard.
Yeah.
And so but they kind of, you know, so they melded Sansa's story arc with her story arc. And so there's a lot of things in the book that are different. There's a lot of them that are like the same. And but it's interesting, the more when you read about Game of Thrones, you get all these cool little details that you don't really get like if you don't read the books. You know, so
very true, very true.
You know, because in the books, the mom's still alive.
Really?
Yeah. She got brought back like Beric Dondarrion, the one that had the flaming sword that fought the Hound.
Oh, him.
Okay. Yeah. Thoros of Myr like brought him back to life. He brings back Catelyn Stark, but her next, like, they call her Stoneheart now because she's like, she wants revenge.
Whoa.
And and she takes over the Men with No Banners or whatever.
Yeah.
So she's still alive, but obviously she's gone in the.
Damn.
In the story arc here.
Well, unless they decide to bring her back out.
I mean, they could, but there's already a lot of stuff that's happened there.
True.
I think Gendry's a bigger character in the book than he is. Mm-hmm. But the main characters are like the three most popular characters is, of course, Jon Snow,
Daenerys,
and Tyrion. And Tyrion is George R. R. Martin's favorite character.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, I know last week we talked about, you know, everything that we thought was going to happen. But I love everything that I love about Game of Thrones is exactly what I loved about Lord of the Rings was its own world that was created. So there's so many things.
So in depth.
That go back. There's so many characters that span thousands, you know, hundreds of thousands of years. tens of thousands of years, and it's just interesting.
It's a world. It's a whole...
Correct, because, you know, the other thing that they haven't shown, because I was reading, you know, there's the prophecy that they all talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Melisandre always talks about the prince that was promised. She said it before in the show. She talks about the sword, the fire sword, which is called Lightbringer,
mm-hmm.
which is... Back in the day, there was a guy named Azor Ahai who was the prince that was promised when the others came, which is the White Walkers.
Mm-hmm.
They came in the Long Night, and he was the warrior for the light that killed him. And he had a sword that he was told to make, and so he took, you know, 30 days or something like that to make this sword, or 30 days or 20, 25, 30 days or whatever he took to make this sword. And when he put it in the water, it broke. And so
when he quenched it, the
next time he took 50 days to make this sword, and he got a lion and he stabbed it in the lion's heart to quench it, and it broke. And so he finally realized what he needed for it, that which was his wife. So he made the sword, took him 100 days, and then he quenched it in her heart, and her soul merged with it. And it became Lightbringer, and that's what he killed the others with. So the prophecy is that the prince that was promised will come before the Long Night to defeat them again. Mm-hmm. And so that's what Stannis has whenever he has the sword in the night, in the seven, the idols, he pulls it out and it's on fire. But they don't ever really show it, and they don't talk about that sword in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think he actually leaves it there on the beach. In the book, the sword, it glows red, like sparkling, but it has no, it's not hot to the touch. It's supposed to radiate heat as well, and his doesn't. Mm-hmm. So when they bring it to Master Aemon, at, you know, the old man who was a Targaryen, he tells him, he asks in the book, this is all in the book, he asks Sam, you know, Sam, because he's blind, so Sam describes it to him when he leaves. He asks Sam, was it hot? And he said no, and he's like, well, that's not Lightbringer. And he believes, the old man believes, that the prince that was promised would be a Targaryen.
Hmm.
Which it could be. I mean, because some people think it's... because
so it could be Jon.
The prince that was promised is supposed to be born in salt and smoke. Which people think is Daenerys because she was born on Dragonstone,
mm-hmm.
which is an island. There's water there, so the salt, and then I guess the smoke from whenever she was in the fire.
Yeah,
and then, you know, the born. Same thing. I think Jon, they were saying his was salt and smoke too because of the bed of blood, which is salty. You know, everyone has like a theory about it.
Even Jaime Lannister was one of them. I saw a video on too.
Yeah, there's a guy that made a chart on Reddit. I want to say I saved it, and he had all these people, and he had all of the things that you had to have to be the prince that was promised.
Oh, shit.
And only Daenerys and Jon Snow were the ones that were tied that had the most. I mean, there was an obscure character that was like in third place that, you know, but, I mean, Jon Snow could be the prince that was promised. The other sword that people thought could be Lightbringer would be, and so this is all in the book. So in the show, I think they kind of, in passing mention, talk about Ned Stark, that Jon Snow was the bastard of Ned Stark and Lady Dane. So that's all they really say, but they don't talk about House Dane. Now, House Dane, there's a guy named Arthur Dane who was the Sword of the Morning. House Dane has a sword called Dawn. Now, House Dane, their castle or whatever is Starfall. So what happened was a star fell from space, and the guy who founded the House Dane tracked down the star and forged a sword out of it
from the meteorite. Nice.
Correct. Which it's white. The blade is white, but it's just as strong as Valyrian steel.
Oh wow!
And it doesn't pass from Lord to Son. It passes from Sword of the Morning to Sword of the Morning. So anybody from House Dane could be the Sword of the Morning and carry Dawn. So Arthur Dane carried Dawn. He was one of the King's Guard. He was best friends with Rhaegar Targaryen, and he was protecting Lyanna Stark at the Tower of Joy when Rhaegar went to go fight in the war and Robert's Rebellion and got killed. So Arthur Dane was killed by Ned Stark with his friend Howland Reed. It's in the show when they do the flashback. After he kills him, he takes the sword back to Starfall. He could have kept it, but he didn't because, you know, Ned Stark's honorable. Mm-hmm. So he took it to Starfall and he gave it to his sister, who was the Lady Dane. Her name was, Alina. I don't remember what her name was, but she was very, very beautiful. Ned Stark had actually danced with her at the tournament of Harrenhal, where Rhaegar Targaryen gave Lyanna Stark the little crown of blue roses and named her goddess of beauty or whatever for the tournament, where they first realized what was going on, you know, that he, I guess, liked her. So at that, she danced with Sir Barristan, who was in love with her, but he was the King's Guard, so he never told her. She danced with one of the Martells, I believe. And then she danced with Ned Stark, who was too shy to... Stop doing that, I can hear it. She danced with Ned Stark, who was too shy to ask her, so his brother Brandon asked her. They said she had violet eyes, and she was like very... She was a retainer, or like a lady-in-waiting for Elia Martell. Elia Martell was married to Rhaegar Targaryen, so she was like her lady-in-waiting. Mm-hmm. And they said she was more beautiful. Like, compared... Elia Martell compared to Ashara Dane was like comparing a princess to a tavern waitress or whatever.
Oh.
Like, that's how pretty supposedly she was. And Ned Stark liked her. So that's why he went and gave the sword to her.
Trying to impress her.
And so they're thinking that from the time he saw her at Harrenhal to when the war was over was roughly a year. So there, when he came back from the war, he left Starfall after giving her the sword, and he brought back Jon Snow. So that's why people think that he had a baby with her, but she killed herself whenever he gave her the sword. She jumped off of the top of the thing. And people say it was because her brother was dead. Some people said because somebody took her baby from her. Mm-hmm. So there's all this stuff. So the more I read about it, it makes me wonder if John is, I mean, I know the show says it is, but there's just a lot of other stuff that points to possibility that maybe Ashara, I mean, she has something to do with it. So people think that Dawn could be Lightbringer. So there's a lot of, speculation. That's what I love about Game of Thrones. I just talked for like 15 minutes or 10 minutes.
Just to Game of Thrones.
About Game of Thrones, and it has nothing backstory to do with the show.
Yeah. God damn.
And it's only one character. Or two characters that I've already talked about.
That's nuts.
Because, there's also the horn that's supposed to be able to bring the dragons down or break the wall. Some people think it's the same horn. But in the book, it says that when you blow the horn, whoever blows it dies. Hmm. Like, that's how powerful the horn is. There's a lot of crazy stuff that I wish would have made it into the show. I know it's kind of hard because... But there are, you know, I'm rewatching it right now because Vicky hasn't seen it, my wife. So
she's liking it so far.
We're rewatching it. Yeah, I mean, she's interested in it, but it's very complex, and so she gets kind of lost, and you know, so you have to explain it to her, and because there's just so many characters and so many things, and there's so many houses, and you know, how do you remember, you know, who House Martell is?
They jump
who,
from character, you know, to character,
the,
to character.
Yeah, the Mormonts and all of that. So. There's a lot of characters there, so she likes it so far. But in seeing it again, I'm seeing some things are unnecessary. It's still the best show I've ever seen. I haven't seen Breaking Bad. Everyone talks about that. It's the best show ever.
That was a really great show.
But I know people that have said that Game of Thrones is the best show they've ever seen, even better than Breaking Bad.
I would agree to that. It's especially when it comes to production value.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, best story, yeah, by far.
The reason why we're talking about Game of Thrones so much is because it's coming out in like 40 days. And then July, supposedly after season 6 comes out, 7. We're going to have to wait till 2019 for season 8, supposedly is what they're saying. How do you feel about that, Gil?
It's going to suck, but what they're promising or what they're saying they're wanting to do is it's going to be worth it, though. Like, they're going to basically make each episode like if it were a movie, production value-wise, all that stuff. So they're going to be hour-long movies. So they're going to go all out in each episode, which is only going to be, what, 8 episodes, I think, on season 8?
7.
Or 7 episodes. So each one will be completely...
7 or 6. I think this episode... Six, I actually. Think this season is 7, next season 6.
Yeah, so it'll be a total 13 of episodes that are left.
I think it was dumb for them to just hold to that number...
Yeah.
You know, the guy was like, I originally said I wanted to do 75, you know, episodes, and that'll get us there. It's like, come on, man. Like,
stickler on that, yeah.
Like, give me a break. Just do 10 and 10. You know, what is that going to put you at? 6?
15
and 15? That's 4 and 3, so that's 7 more episodes. So if you finish with 82, what's the big deal?
I mean, they're going to take their sweet time to make these episodes, I'm guessing. That's why it's going to take till 2019. But also, maybe will it give it enough time for... Mr. Martin to finish his books?
No.
Still wouldn't be enough time?
No. I'd say
2 years from now.
I would say that it's probably out by now. I mean, I would say that the sixth book, I think it's called A Dance of Dragons, The Winds of Winter, I think, or something like that. Mm. I would say that one will probably be done. But I don't believe that will be... we're not going to see in the literature part of it, the writing, we won't see the end of Game of Thrones. I mean, it's not called a Game of Thrones. It's called A Song of Ice and Fire. we will not see the end of that series probably till...
Like
what,
2023
2023 is what I was going to say, yeah.
What if they made an actual movie about it?
Well, you want to hear something that... I don't know.
About him just writing the book?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, that's exactly what people want.
Totally.
You really couldn't make a movie about it. I mean, it's done.
It's a movie in itself.
Doing a show is doing shows now is the new thing.
Yeah.
You know,
it is a thing.
You get more story out. Even if it's as expensive as making a big budget movie, you're still getting more audience.
Has it ever happened more money where they have a TV show and then they make like actual good major movie
out of it?
In theaters,
I don't know, but Inhumans, the first two episodes are actually going to show in the theater as a movie.
IMAX.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then they'll roll into the show. But I don't know. I still prefer to sit at home and watch it. And
yeah, I mean, that's how the trend is too. Like less and less people are going to the movies nowadays. There's a lot of cord cutters, so everybody's watching like stuff online.
I mean, you want to hear something really crazy? So, Game of Thrones, the books are ridiculously expansive. They're like over 1,000 pages. If you've never written them, I have the first two books there, which is A Game of Thrones,
A Song of Fire and Ice,
The Storm of Swords, and
or Ice and Fire.
Yeah, I got two of the books right there. The Clash of Kings. So I've read Game of Thrones, I've read Clash of Kings, now I'm reading The Storm of Swords, and they're very long, 1,000 pages. Once you get to, once I finish book 3, book 4 only has Jon in there and Daenerys and Tyrion maybe in there. Maybe a total of 20 pages out of the whole, or maybe not at all. I think not at all. So people, because they, okay, so it's so expansive. He has so many characters, which we've seen in the show, that once he got to book four, he wrote it in one long, huge book. But he couldn't, he was like, I can't, because he had too much stuff going on. So he cut half of it into the fourth book and the other half into the fifth book by characters. When you read the Game of the Song, A Song of Fire and Ice books, which is Game of Thrones, you'll see that each chapter is from the perspective of a character. Mm-hmm. It's not like a story that you just read and read and read. You see it from their point of view. So like there's like 30 chapters belong to Daenerys, 30 or Jon, where you're seeing it from there. Yeah. So there's characters that see in the movies, I mean in the show, that is not even a POV character. It's just someone that they're describing. So you really don't know their true intentions. So it's kind of crazy that it's like that. But it was so big he had to cut it in half. So he took half of that book with POV from those characters in book four. And then book five had John in it. So you basically didn't have a story, anything to read about John or Daenerys or Tyrion from 2005 until 2012.
Damn.
So imagine waiting 5 to 7 years to find out what happened to Jon Snow or what's going on. That's
ridiculous.
That's why I'm very glad I didn't start reading these books back then, because I'm sorry I can't. And you know what I don't know what's weird about this particular writer, and he says it's because he's doing all these side projects, he's writing all these other books on the side too, but I would not want to wait since 1994-95. I mean, that's,
when's this gonna damn thing
that's
end?
20 years. God. And the books aren't finished yet. It's over 20 years.
That's ridiculous.
Give me a freaking break, bro. Like, write those books down. Like, I know he did. He's done 3 books on, it's called Duncan and Egg. That's a backstory. It's Sir Duncan and his squire was Egg, called him Egg, but he was a Targaryen, Aegon Targaryen. Mm-hmm. And it's a story about them. That was one of the prequels that they said they are not going to do. So people are kind of like, oh, that's messed up. Because that's a way prequel to the Game of Thrones series. It's probably like 200 years before.
Do you think he's doing that by design, purposely? So like he can have all these filler books that people will buy, because if he finished the books, the main storyline, if he finished those too fast, people won't want to go back and see, have all these filler stuff.
No.
It's not
Game
like
of Thrones
design.
Right now is at the peak of its popularity. You can only go down from there.
So fast, like that made the other stuff, if he wanted
but
to do.
The money he's going to make is the money he's going to make. It kind of doesn't matter. You know what I mean? And now that they've already said they're going to do 4 prequels or 5 prequel spinoff stories, like.
But they said they're writing them, but only like one of them is actually going to be like a show or something like that.
Regardless, he's going to make his money.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, I don't think it's about money. I think he's just takes forever. And I know I've read some of the stuff where he releases chapters. He's released like 4 or 5 chapters.
That's kind of ridiculous.
So people are like, I mean, it's
just teasing.
It is. And it's annoying, actually. Like, come on, man. You have people that are waiting for these books to come out. You signed to do this show, mm-hmm. knowing damn well you weren't going to finish the series before the show ended. And to me, that kind of robs it now. Because imagine the people that are watching the show that can't watch, that are waiting for the book. Why are they going to want to read the book?
It's true. The show's going to finish before the book, and that never happens. Usually the other way around.
Yeah. So
that's just so bizarre.
I'm excited. I mean, are you how what do you want to see? Because you weren't here last week when we talked about Game of Thrones, right? No. Or the week before you were here.
No. He was doing laundry last week.
And you had your theories about the way things were gonna happen, right?
Oh yeah. We still talked about that.
Oh, okay, we did.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing that kind of refreshed my memory on it was in the trailer. You see Cersei and you see
Daenerys.
Jaime.
Oh, yeah.
And she's standing on that big old map of Westeros. Mm-hmm. She's standing on the neck, which it's called the neck of Westeros. That's where like Moat Cailin is. That's where you get to the north. Mm-hmm. It's a neck. It's a real small area. Jaime's standing on the fingers, which is where what's his name is from? Littlefinger. So they call him Littlefinger.
Yeah, I know you're talking about
fingers.
Yeah.
When you watch Game of Thrones, I just saw that episode recently in season 5. There is an episode where Cersei's young and she goes into the witch's, a witch's hut, and she wants her to tell her the future, and she tells her that she'll be a queen for a while, but that she's going to be replaced, and if she was going to have any kids, and that, you know, that she basically told her that she wasn't going to have any kids with the king. Kind of like, you know, it makes sense now that we listen to it, but to her it didn't make sense. In the book, the prophecy says that everybody will die before she does, like all her kids, and that basically her brother is going to strangle her with his hands. So people are saying, like, man, she's standing on the neck of Westeros and Jaime's standing on the fingers.
Oh,
and in the prophecy, that's what it said, that you will be strangled by your younger brother's hands or something like that.
Foreshadowing there. I like that.
That's part of the thing. They made a whole case on how Jaime Lannister, I saw a YouTube video on it, on how he can become the prince that was promised and develop, since he has one of the Valyrian swords that he can make into that, what's the sword called again?
Lightbringer.
Yeah, Lightbringer. And that he is going to be with one hand strangling her. And actually, he can use one hand, but essentially use his sword to kill her. And that's how he's going to get that, bring her down.
It could be, but the prophecy says, and I don't know if the people said this on the YouTube video, but that sword's supposed to be pulled from fire. Mm-hmm. That's why Stannis pulls it from the fire. That Lightbringer will be a sword that is pulled out of fire, and it will glow red and it will be hot.
So only like a Targaryen.
That's why Aemon says only a Targaryen. It doesn't mean it can only be a Targaryen. But the reason why I don't think Jaime can is because I don't think he was born of salt and smoke.
I forgot they mentioned something. I'll look at it again and then I'll tell you about it.
Because he was a twin, because that means if he was born of salt and smoke, then that means Cersei was born of salt and smoke. And the Prince of Promise, they said, is non-gender. So
it could be female too then.
Yeah, it could be a female. That's why it could be Daenerys. The only reason I don't think it's Daenerys is because you never even see her wield a sword. Like, she kind of makes me, I kind of get annoyed with her because I'm like, she's not even a warrior.
Yeah, she can't. Yeah, there was that one, like, at the.
She just rides a damn dragon.
The last scene, like, when there were those people were surrounding her in the stadium, and she thought she was going to be killed, so the dragon saved her. She was like, well, fuck, she can't defend herself or nothing. She can't fight. So, like, yeah, I don't think she would. She can't wield that sword. She ain't a fighter.
That's what I'm saying. She's not a fighter. You take her dragons away from her, and, you know, that's
her power.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm excited to see how it's going to end. I know that John is a favorite character. You know, he does almost everything the way he's supposed to do it. Also, he was brought back to life, and I think that was one of the. But what's weird about it is the Red Priestesses in, where Daenerys is in Meereen, are telling her that she's the prince that was promised because she freed the slaves. I mean, who do you want to sit on the Iron Throne? I know that's a good question.
Jon Snow, but it would probably end up being Tyrion. As far as smarts go, like, he would be the wisest one, I would think.
That would be nice if Tyrion ended up with it, and then of course you could still have like a king in the north.
Yeah, like, or maybe like if Jon like he wins it, or, you know, he ends up being the king, but he ends up going to the, you know, I don't feel like running the place. I'm right. Giving it to you, Tyrion. You know what you're doing more than I knew. I'm gonna go hang out in the north and just chill, literally.
So it says the prince that was promised. Of course, this guy's like, oh, it's a prince. So it couldn't be Daenerys, but, you know. The blood of the dragon, which is both of them. Born amidst salt, smoke. Born amidst salt. This has already happened to Daenerys, but if the Night's Watch does burn Jon's body, it could fit him too. See, because this person's going off of the book. And in the book, he's not. They don't know what happened yet. A bleeding star in the sky. It could be Jon bleeding in the snow, or possibly the return of the dragons. There's they both kind of, if Tyrion is a Targaryen, though, you know, that would kind of change things too. And there's supposed to be another Targaryen, which is Aegon, which would be Daenerys' little brother. In the book, he has an army. So in the book, there's a guy named John Covington. He was the Hand of the King. He couldn't defeat Robert. So the Mad King kind of stripped him all of his lands and his lordships and banished him. He ends up finding Aegon later on with the Golden Company, which is an army of about 10,000, I think, or 20,000. And he convinces him to fight in the War of the Five, when they're all fighting. And so he's already fighting. And he already has, like, backings and stuff like that. So there is another Targaryen that was completely left out. I don't know why they were left out, but you never know. The other one is, the biggest part of the prophecy is the prince is said to have a song, the Song of Ice and Fire. And Daenerys does not have a Song of Ice and Fire. It's Jon. Especially since in the book, when Daenerys is in the Tower of Karth, the Tower of those wizards or whatever, she sees a vision of Rhaegar Targaryen, her brother, a woman who she didn't know, holding a baby. And he was singing because he was a singer on his harp. And he said, I am singing, this is the song for my son, the prince that was promised. His is a song of ice and fire. Mm. And to me, like, people seem to totally just let that go. So, I mean, I don't know. When the red star bleeds and the darkness gathers, Azor Ahai shall be born again amidst smoke and salt. Some people think it's two different people. There's a lot of stuff in there. You know, Master Aemon mentions a bleeding star along with smoke and salt as being part of the heralding of the prince that was promised, but he doesn't really mention the Azor Ahai. The Archmaester Martin recalls that according to prophecy, the prince shall be born amidst salt and smoke beneath a bleeding star. When he was younger, they thought that Rhaegar Targaryen was the prince that was promised, since the smoke would be from the fire at Summerhall and salt from the tears of those who cried there. So it's, you know, there's a lot. Another interesting thing is when and this is something you only get in the books, when Rhaegar was young, he agreed that he might be the prince that was promised. He didn't want to fight. He didn't want to be a warrior. Mm-hmm. He wanted to play music. But he read something in a scroll and it changed him, and he decided to become a knight, saying that he would require sword and armor, that he must be a warrior. Later on, he thought that Aegon was the prince that was promised because there was a comet above King's Landing when he was born. This, you know, Aegon was killed, but, you know, Aegon, according to the book, is still alive. You know, it's very, you know, one thing I will say about George R. R. Martin is he knows how to keep you in suspense. He knows how to write some good stuff, because
got us talking about it.
I mean, because at this point, it could be Prince that was promised could be at least 3 to 4 different people.
It's kind of like Star Wars, how they can leave you hanging.
And knowing the way George R. R. Martin is, the way he kills people off.
We definitely know that.
Who's to say that the prince that was promised or whatever is going to be someone we ain't even talking about.
Somebody just out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen.
So, I mean, I don't know. I would like to see Jon sit on the Iron Throne, but I don't think he is. I think Daenerys is going to sit on the Iron Throne. I think Tyrion is going to be her hand. I think Jon just wants to go back to the North. Jon is too much Stark to care.
Very much Stark, yeah.
He's too much Stark to even care. So, I mean, we're going to find out. The other interesting thing is maybe the books are going to end different than the way the series is.
That's what I'm afraid of happening. But I mean, they know the overall plot points.
Well, he told them that in case he died.
Yeah. It's locked up in a vault.
Well, really quick, when we went on and on, man, about Game of Thrones, that's how much I like it. I love that stuff.
Next, we'll talk about the Silmarillion from Lord of the Rings.
So we're going to talk, we're going to hit on 2 points really quick, 2 little topics. They're talking about a potential X-23 movie.
Hopefully that one.
Want to see that?
Hell yeah, that'd be awesome.
What's weird about it is it's going to be so far in the future, it can't impact any of the...
Yeah, it's its own unless thing.
It involves Cable. See, if you were smart, what you would do is you would take X-23 from the future and have Cable bring her to the past. Then you could have her. So that's a possibility. I know that they were saying that they were not ready to get a new actor for Wolverine. They're not ready to move on from that, but they're going to have to do it because I think he's done.
Maybe, how do you recast Wolverine? Oh, that's just... And that's because he said he'd be willing to come back if they brought him into the MCU, which would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I think we'll go ahead and save the last topic for next week because it's a DC topic, and it'll give us something more to talk about with the... Try to go see Wonder Woman.
I'll say, yeah, I could do it tied into the Wonder Woman thing.
Yeah, so we'll save that one. Sorry we didn't get another Facebook Live recording, guys, and we just got too deep into the stuff today, but... We appreciate everyone that listens to us, and we are thankful for our listeners.
And Mark Hamill.
Yep, he's the juice that keeps it going.
And President Trump.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be the best podcast of all time.
So as always, thanks for listening. Please share the podcast. Check us out on Facebook, Men of the Cave on Facebook. On Instagram, Men of the Cave. Mm-hmm. We each have our own individuals, but you can message us through those. Mm-hmm. We're all linked to it. Any kind of suggestions, feedback, we would definitely love to hear it. I hope you're enjoying the fact that I think the mics should sound a lot better now.
Yeah, after how many episodes?
Yes, I know.
Moving on up.
But
do it.
Yeah.
We're
just finally 30.
So just keep listening. Share us with your friends. Let us know. Gil, you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye, guys.
Hot sauce.
Catch you on the flip side.
And we'll see y'all next week, guys. Take care.